Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to 9 Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, A Concise Guide to Macroeconomics, second edition by David A. Moss is a short, practical introduction to macroeconomics written for managers, executives, and students who need a clear framework for understanding the economy. Rather than aiming to be a formal textbook, it explains the basic forces that shape national and global economic conditions and shows how they affect business decisions. The book focuses on the major building blocks of macroeconomics, especially output, money, and expectations, and uses them to organize topics such as GDP, inflation, unemployment, exchange rates, trade balances, and monetary policy. Moss draws on his teaching experience at Harvard Business School to keep the language accessible while still preserving intellectual rigor. The result is a guide that helps readers interpret economic news, understand policy moves, and connect broad macroeconomic trends to real business consequences. It is especially useful as a foundation for readers who want practical literacy rather than technical specialization. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the book organizes macroeconomics around output, money, and expectations. One of the book's most distinctive features is its decision to build macroeconomics around three core pillars: output, money, and expectations. This structure matters because it prevents the subject from feeling like a loose collection of statistics and policy debates. Output captures the real side of the economy, including production, income, and growth. Money introduces the monetary side, where interest rates, liquidity, and central bank actions shape behavior. Expectations connect the two, because businesses and households respond not only to current conditions, but also to what they believe will happen next. By using these pillars as an organizing logic, Moss gives readers a way to see how macroeconomic variables interact instead of treating them as isolated facts. The approach is especially valuable for non-specialists, because it offers a conceptual map that can be reused when reading news about recession, inflation, or policy tightening. The book is not trying to prove a theory in detail. It is trying to provide a stable framework for understanding how the macroeconomy works in practice. Secondly, it explains core indicators and what they actually measure. A major part of the book is devoted to the basic indicators that dominate macroeconomic discussion, especially GDP, inflation, and unemployment. Moss does more than define them. He explains why they matter and how they fit into a wider picture of economic health. GDP is presented as a measure of output and a proxy for the economy's size, but the book also makes clear that it is not a complete summary of welfare or prosperity. Inflation is treated as a change in the general price level that affects purchasing power, contracts, and policy choices. Unemployment is discussed as a sign of unused labor resources and a signal of economic distress or slack. The value of this section is that it helps readers interpret headlines with greater precision. Instead of reacting to numbers in isolation, readers learn to ask what kind of pressure each indicator reflects and how it connects to policy responses. This makes the book useful for anyone who needs to follow business reporting, central bank decisions, or economic forecasts without getting lost in technical jargon. Thirdly, monetary policy is presented through a practical history of money and the Federal Reserve. The book also gives readers a compact historical and institutional context for monetary policy, including a brief monetary history of the United States and basic macroeconomic accounting. That background is important because monetary policy can seem abstract unless it is tied to institutions and historical change. Moss helps readers understand how central banking, interest rates, and the federal funds rate influence the economy through credit conditions and expectations. The discussion is practical rather than heavily mathematical, which makes it easier to see why a policy move such as a rate hike can affect borrowing, investment, and asset prices. The historical angle also helps explain why modern monetary systems function the way they do and why policy debates often revolve around managing inflation while sustaining growth. For business readers, this section is especially useful because it translates central bank behavior into business relevance. Instead of treating monetary policy as a distant government process, the book shows how it changes the conditions under which firms finance projects, households spend, and markets price risk. Fourthly, exchange rates, trade, and the balance of payments are treated as connected business realities. Another important contribution of the book is its treatment of international economics as something concrete and operational rather than abstract. Moss explains why countries trade, why exchange rates move, and how the balance of payments fits into the broader macroeconomic picture. This is especially relevant for managers and executives because exchange rate movements can alter competitiveness, import costs, revenues, and investment decisions. The book's strength is that it links these international topics back to the same core macro forces discussed earlier, especially output and expectations. A depreciation of the real exchange rate, for example, is not just a foreign exchange event. It can affect domestic prices, trade flows, and business planning. The balance of payments section helps readers see how transactions with the rest of the world are recorded and why external deficits or surpluses matter. Rather than presenting trade as a standalone theory, the book shows how global integration changes the environment in which firms operate. That makes the material especially relevant for readers who need a working understanding of international macroeconomics without a specialized economics background. Lastly, its main strength is accessibility, but its scope is intentionally limited. The book is widely praised for clarity, brevity, and accessibility, and that design choice defines both its strength and its limits. Moss writes for readers who need a strong conceptual foundation, not for those seeking a full academic treatment of macroeconomics. As a result, the book is well-suited to managers, executives, MBA students, and general readers who want to understand economic news and policy discussions without committing to a dense textbook. Its concise format makes it easy to read in a short time, and its clear examples help readers connect abstract concepts to business conditions. At the same time, the book is not intended to replace a comprehensive economics course. It does not provide the depth, formal modeling, or exhaustive coverage that a student would need for advanced study. That restraint is part of what makes it effective. It promises a usable introduction and delivers one by focusing on the essential relationships that matter most in real-world decision-making. Compared with more technical macroeconomics books, it stands out because it is built for comprehension and application rather than specialization. In conclusion, A Concise Guide to Macroeconomics, second edition is best suited to readers who need a disciplined but approachable introduction to macroeconomic thinking. Managers and executives will benefit from its focus on the variables that shape business conditions, such as output growth, inflation, interest rates, exchange rates, and trade balances. Students can use it as a bridge into the subject before moving to denser textbooks, while non-specialist readers will find it useful for interpreting economic news with more confidence. Its practical value lies in turning broad macroeconomic forces into a coherent framework for decision-making and analysis. What makes it stand out in its category is not sheer coverage, but clarity of structure. By centering the book on output, money, and expectations, Moss gives readers a memorable way to organize an otherwise complex field. The second edition's emphasis on policy relevance and real-world examples also makes it feel directly connected to business and public debate. For readers who want a concise, reliable, and intelligently written guide rather than a formal academic treatise, this book occupies a very effective middle ground. If you would like to support David A. Moss, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.